Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This next gentleman, a star in his own right, back in the day doing TV work. Last time he was on with us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, we were talking about him coming back to honor Rock for a game, him and Matt Vasgersian and others. And now, unfortunately, we bring him on to talk about the passing of Bob Uecker today at the age of 90. His VP and content creator for Perfect Game USA. Follow him on Twitter at LifeIsGreatSut, Darren Sutton. Darren, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's an honor on a sad day, but a day certainly to celebrate an incredible life. It's an honor, as I said in the text, to come join you for a few minutes. Thank you for having me.
So this is a little bit different. I had Sal Bando Jr. on earlier, and obviously his dad was the GM of the Brewers for a while. So there was that, and he's been coaching baseball and all of that here since then. For you, kind of, I guess, a little bit of the same thing where, you know, Don was a pitcher for the Brewers and then you ended up being a broadcaster for the Brewers. And talk about that whole experience involving Uecker.
Yeah, it's very similar to how I felt, and I think everyone will understand this because it was a national name, when we lost Vin Scully.
Yep.
Vin is one of the reasons I do and did what I did. He was the voice of my father's career when I was very, very young, you know, all the way through elementary school. You know, old man says, you know, transistor under the radio. Old man can say that because that's how I listen to my dad. Well, Bob was the joyful voice of some of the best baseball memories I ever had when I started to understand how difficult the game was, you know, at 12 and 13 when my father pitched for the Brewers, you know, and to learn a little bit about broadcasting at that point and to kind of nudge me even more to want to do it. And I think the one thing I learned from Bob as a 13-year-old when he was broadcasting my dad's games, to be clear back then, were how much self-deprecating humor runs the world and how much, even though you're one of the biggest names and faces in the whole organization, even back in the 80s, that, you know, staying humble, having joy, giving people smiles. As a young man, I understood it. And then working as a colleague of his, that's where I think, you know, I have this blessed perspective with Bob. Then I grew up. I've really never grown up, but then I got older. and we were colleagues. We were co-voices. He was the voice on radio. I was the voice on television. I always laugh. I was telling my wife just a few minutes ago, explaining it was always humbling to be sitting in sometimes, quote unquote, what was a larger booth, maybe with more spoils somewhere on the road, and to have Bob be sitting in the smaller booth broadcasting next door. It never felt right to me. And he was just fine with that. And I think the greatest things that I enjoyed the most, traveling for 5 years with the Brewers on not good teams, good personalities, fun people, Richie Sexton, Jeff Jenkins, Ben Sheets, fun names, fun memories, the early days of Prince and JJ, were, to be clear, there was no doubt, no matter all those players, when we pulled up to any hotel, and a lot of times Bob with his points, I believe he would stay at another hotel on occasion, and there was never a complaint. We would pull up, and he was the most popular yep. Brewer. I don't care who was on the bus. Those names I just gave, we had, you know, big names as managers. Davey Lopes had a long major league career. Obviously, Ned Yost was heroic for the Brewers as a player, part of championship teams. None of that mattered. None of that mattered. Our most famous, most beloved, most popular Brewer, every time that bus swung open with the Milwaukee Brewers, was Bob Uecker. And that resonates so strongly with me, even to this day, as for 5 years I got to work side-by-side as a colleague with him.
Talking with Darren Sutton, Brewers announcing great on TV when he was here. Joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fantasy Sparky Fife with you. How much interaction was there between you and him as far as calling games? Did you take anything away from him? Did you have conversations about the industry and doing it? I know radio and TV are different, but to a degree, they're kind of the same.
No, it's interesting you would ask that question because it leads to a story I was hoping to tell without pushing it. One of the first nights that I got there, and I don't remember every name of every banquet on the quote-unquote Brewers Winter Tour. I don't know if that goes on anymore where you tour the state.
It does, yep.
But one of the big kickoff nights of my first ever Brewers Winter Tour, which would have been in January 2002, which ages all of us, there was a big event downtown Milwaukee. For the sake of the story, it might have been at the Milwaukee Athletic Club in one of the big ballrooms. And I was supposed to speak. I was going to introduce Bob. I gave a few. I was the new kid. I was the young, new TV voice. And we were in, quote unquote, kind of a back room VIP area where the ball players were and Bob was. And I cornered him and I said, hey, listen, I know I'm not standing here without your vote. I understand that. I understand the influence you have. You've earned it. I'm sure you were shown a list of candidates. I know there were some good ones. I'm humbled by that. And I'm willing and ready to learn anything you'd like to share with me. And he paused and looked me right in the eye and he said, you're here for a reason. You don't need to learn anything from me. If I have any piece of advice and I'll give it to you tonight, then I don't really have much more for you. Be 100% yourself. Be authentic and be passionate. Otherwise, I'm me. You're you. Don't feel like you have to do anything that leans towards how the way I do things. And he goes, and I can't say that clearly enough. You're here for a reason. Don't try and emulate anything I do. Be yourself. And I'll never forget that interaction. Initially, it might have almost took me aback a little bit. Oh, doesn't he not want to help me? And as I aged into that job, into that market where I fell in love with the people, and at times the feeling was really mutual in Wisconsin, I knew exactly what he meant. And so I'll never forget that interaction. Now, what did I learn? I just watched him work with people. I watched him, you know, on game 90, on game 100, on game 110, when we were losing, unfortunately, sometimes 90 and 110, have that same smile, that same joy, that same energy. And not the weight of the world of the team. He was there to be the middleman and to make the listener smile, the man, the woman, the guys barbecuing out of their back deck in some town in Wisconsin. I learned just watching him have that energy, far older than me. He's, you know, he ages me 35 years older, having as much energy as anyone, you know, in August when the games made nothing. So that's what I watched from him and learned from him. But that first interaction, deep interaction, I'll never forget those words of wisdom he gave me. He said, hey, kid, go be you. And I'll never forget that.
You've done it for a long time. You still do it with Perfect Game. When you're doing baseball, there's a lot of downtime. I mean, it's not as fast-paced as basketball where you're breathing and you're going to a commercial break or whatever. There's a lot of downtime. And if you're losing and you still got four or five innings to get through, then it's like, okay, how am I going to keep everybody? I got to keep entertaining or whatever. His ability to storytell, and yes, the comedic timing obviously is part of it, but to paint the picture when you're on the radio is such a crucial element of the whole thing. I think that might have been his strongest talent, I guess, as we were talking about earlier, was the storytelling.
No, 100%. And it wasn't always that he was describing every single person's hat in the third row,
right,
and being that descriptive where at times he felt like, you know, it was the most mundane thing just to keep the story going. It was getting him to point A to point B, and maybe it was something that he saw in the first base coach's box, but he had the ability to see a coach in the first base coach's box and tie it to a wonderful anecdote, tie it to a wonderful memory, and then something that took him back through his years, either with Milwaukee or other places that he stopped. And then all of a sudden he's storytelling. He and his partner, no matter who they were through the years, whether it be Jimmy Powell all the way up to now, with his partners now, he could work fine alone, but he also works great. He dances fine when he gets out there and dances alone, but he's a wonderful dance partner and has a great sense of humor. And you can give it to him as his partner. And now the younger the announcer's got to work with him, that's a little bit more difficult. But you could give it to him just as much as he'd give it right back to you. And he understood that, I think, even on television, a little bit, it's not quite as important. But it really is three people. It's you, your partner, and the listener, and those three. And if you can't hold a conversation around a dinner table or a bar stool with three other people, then you can't do that job. And to do that kind of conversation that's comfortable and warm for 3 hours, 150, 160 times a year, I'll always say it, not because I've stumbled into learning how to do it, but hosting a show is one thing. Calling a game, doing play-by-play is as tough a thing as there is to do in sports. And he did it as well as anybody that's ever done it.
1,000%. Darren Sutton, follow him on Twitter at LifeIsGreatSut, VP content creator over there at Perfect Game USA. Also does play-by-play for them as well. You talked about the fact of, you know, maybe you weren't here for some of the great Brewers teams, but you got to see some of the young upstarts coming before they made their run with Fielder and Braun. I've been saying it since I've been on the air at 11 o'clock. His ability to relate from generation to generation to generation of baseball players. We had Paul Molitor on earlier. So he was rolling around with those guys, getting beers, doing his thing with Yount and Gattner and Gorman and all of those guys. So you have that. And then you fast forward, and then he's in this group here that we're talking about. And then you fast forward, and then it's Yelich and Gomez and Braun and all these guys. It's crazy. Hey, man, I'm 48. I can't relate to my senior in high school, Darren. And he's relating all the way through.
Yeah, and there's a cool factor in that, isn't there? And I think a lot of it ties to that self-deprecation. The genuine ability to always look like you're putting yourself and feel like you're putting yourself second. And then to come in and bust chops with a guy who makes, you know, now $15, $20 million a year. And at that point, whoever that athlete is, they suddenly have a feeling that I actually am not the face of this franchise. That guy is. And no matter what my 5 or 4 or 3 year dealer that I won in arbitration tells me, I know it because I see it. I know it because he's the one who gets to pull his car in all the way in, by the way. He gets to pull his car inside the stadium. I don't. That's an earned privilege. This man is the voice. And by the way, he's not the one that's on television. He's on radio, which they tell me is a dying entity. Obviously, it's not. And the audio call of the game and the relating to the game, I'll tell you, you know, and this just came to me. One of the things, too, that he did teach me that didn't come into play then because I'm dramatically younger is now. I'm in a job where I am constantly – and I did it yesterday. I interviewed 5 young athletes. When I say young, I mean pre-college age, elite future draft pick athletes. And there's a lot to learn from being self-deprecating while still earning that respect. And a lot of that I watched Bob do on a day-to-day basis with the athletes. But remember this. You know, it's not just the charming grandpa with the good aw shucks sense of humor at this point, right? I can remember, now I'm going back a half generation, but being in a place like Pittsburgh, where I would roll myself out of bed, not treat myself that great out on the road, and try to get into the gym to get on a treadmill or a bike, and Bob would be swimming every single day. So the athletes that rolled by that part of the hotel also had respect for that. Bob also took advantage of that setting within the ballpark when they put in the modern pools, the swim X's, the lap. Well, if you're an announcer who does look like your dad or your grandfather, not only can have a Miller Lite after the game with you and buzz chops, but sometimes beat you into the swim X, you got to respect that. You got to connect with that. And I'll never forget, like, you know, I know it's a sad day in Wisconsin, and I know it's a sad day for all of us who knew him, but, like, I kind of celebrate the man. Like, how incredible of a life he did that I can even look back and remember, you know, not only the guy in his Brewers gear, but the guy in a Speedo because he beat me to the pool. He beat me to the gym area out on the road. So these are all things that I remember about Bob, aside of all the public things, the acting, the hosting, the warm voice that he was, and that word warm, gosh, I've done interviews through the years, job interviews, you know, different places where I've earned jobs, and I've come to the point of what's your style, and I do, no matter who I'm talking with, I say the word warm, because I hope I'm warm to the listener. Man, if anything epitomizes that word warm, where you feel warmth from someone, where you are drawn to wanting to be around their energy, that's who Bob Uecker was.
And it was also recognizable. Like, I'm convinced you could play a Uecker soundbite anywhere in this country, and people would probably know that was Bob Uecker's voice.
Yeah, and that was earned. I mean, that was earned because he was a legendary actor. He was one of the first calls for sports movies, even beyond Major League. He was on television shows. There are so many people in this world that have no idea even who the Brewers are or who one single Milwaukee Brewer is, who absolutely know who Mr. Belvedere is. And then you start putting those things together where maybe you cross over just a little bit of baseball knowledge and all of a sudden you recognize the voice from multiple places. And there are a million plus baseball fans who saw Major League that know nothing about Major League Baseball. Well, for them, that's the Vin Scully. That's the voice. That's the Joe Buck. It's that guy. That guy's the voice of all of baseball, especially if I'm not a baseball fan. It's that guy that's the voice of baseball. And he's pretty damn funny. And so that's, I think, why he resonates, not just with Brewers and baseball fans, but I think a lot of people think that he kind of is the voice of baseball because of a lot of the acting that he did.
No question. Darren Sutton, follow him on Twitter at Life is Great Sud, VP and content creator at Perfect Game USA, and obviously play-by-play announcer as well. Plus, he does radio. Are you still doing that Sirius XM radio show throughout the year, too?
Yeah, we have a show every Sunday. It's a fun one. It's the only show they do on MLB Network Radio devoted to amateur baseball. And I got to scratch the play-by-play itch. I miss it too much. So I'm one of the voices of the Arizona Wildcats, all their different programs. So it's a lot of fun.
You're doing basketball for the Wildcats?
I am.
Wow, congratulations. I did not know that. Now, that's awesome. Well, congratulations. That should be a good
point. It's not like real. To be clear, out of respect for Mr. Uecker and all the great radio announcers, it's television. So, I am not the voice, but I'm the ESPN and ESPN voice plus voice. So,
people forget you were doing TV for the Panthers back in the day. Milwaukee Panthers, yeah.
10 years. I loved every second of it.
Yes, indeed. I used to watch those games on TV for sure. Darren, thank you so much for coming on and joining us on this sad day as Bob Uecker passes at 90. Thank you so much, Darren.
He made us all smile so many times, and I hope the little bit of his baseball career is coming up right now, and maybe he's, as I could steal a line from Dom Catronio, one of the great parts of the Brewers broadcast team, who texted me that maybe he's catching one of my dad's bullpens. I would love to know that's going on.
No doubt about it. Darren Sutton, thank you so much.
All right, take care.